10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
And the drum roll, please.
That is quite an introduction.
Oh, yeah. You know, you are not usually on, you know, right away. So you don't hear me playing drum rolls for us and, you know, applause, you know, and all of that. I have fun. I start pressing buttons.
I don't even know how to do any of that. Good for you. I don't know how to do
that. Yes. Well, good morning, everybody. Happy Tuesday, the last Tuesday in November. I don't know how this happened. We're walking into December already. It's crazy.
It is crazy.
And thank you guys for joining us for WTF Let's Talk with Karen and Danielle. And you are listening to, hi, I'm Karen Stacey. And we have Danielle. Say hi, Danielle.
Hi, Danielle.
And good morning, Paul. I see somebody just joined us. So today we're going to do something a little bit different. You know, I like a lot of people give feedback to me about, oh, you should do a show about this. You should do a show about that. And, you know, I do try to do shows about all of those kind of things, you know, which is why, you know, Real Talk was, you know, created. And then obviously Danielle and I, whenever we have conversations together, it was always like WTF, like, are you kidding me? So I'm like, we got to do a show, you know, like that. So most of the topics that we talk about are definitely things that make you go, So I put something on Facebook in our group. It's the Real Talk with Karen Stacey group. If you're not a member, please join. And then you'll see the posts of what the shows are about, when we're doing the shows, if I'm doing events, et cetera, et cetera. And so I asked what would be a good topic for the show. And I was impressed. I mean, I got a lot of responses. Danielle, did you get a chance to read any of those?
I did not.
My busy Danielle.
Just started to search for it now on Facebook so I can read. I did not.
Okay. Well, that's okay. Okay. So she didn't do her homework. That's okay. We still love you. But what was funny was, you know, Danielle was texting me this morning because, you know, she does 8,000 things in like 3 seconds. So she had something this morning and she was free, obviously, when she was done. And she's like, all right, I'm in. And she had a couple of things that she wanted to discuss as well. So for anybody that has jumped on with us and that is live, I will keep checking in. You are welcome to put a comment in on a topic that you would like us to discuss. And it's funny because all these people want us to discuss these topics, yet they're not live with us right now. So the people that are live with us will get first dibs on us, you know, using the topic and discussing it, you know, if of course it's, you know, topic.
Yeah, I'm reading your topics now. I like how do you do so much for others but don't get the same support in return. I'm right there with that. Victor Casper Santiago Jr. I'm right there with you.
Yep. And so, all right. So you want to start. So let's not jump all over the place. Let's start there. So read it one more time.
How do you do so much for others but don't get the same support in return?
All right. Go ahead. You can. You want to go with that one?
Hold on. I didn't create any service company. Okay. So, right. So there are people, I'm a very type A personality. I am a doer. I am, you know, I'm a busy, busy bee. You can ask Karen. I do 100 things all day long. And I always try to treat people the way I want to be treated. Do I get treated that way? Absolutely not. So do I find myself more disappointed in the human race than I do with anything else? Yes, I do. Especially people that you have loved and befriended and you've made part of your life, and you just assume because you treat them more like family than friends or acquaintances that at some point, if and when the time comes that you need them to reciprocate, they will, and then they don't, and you have to reevaluate everything, right? I have found myself in that situation more times than I would like to count. And, you know, it doesn't mean that you stop the friendship or whatever, but it definitely puts some limitations on how far you'll go moving forward. I do everything, everything that I can. I mean, Karen will attest, if I can help you, I will help you. If she lives in New York and if she called me tomorrow and said, I need you, I'm jumping on a plane and I'm coming. You know, I had a situation, I have a friend, I've done everything for this friend. You know, anything she calls and she asks me, can you do this for me? Sure. Can you do this for me? Can you do that for me? Yeah, sure. No problem. No problem. I asked her and I don't ask. So when I do ask, I do not ask.
Right.
I'm a doer. So right. When I do ask, I'm not expecting a no.
Right.
You know? And my husband's father had passed away. He lives 2 hours away. So my children were young at the time, so I didn't want them at the funeral, but my husband did want them at the luncheon afterwards, right? So I had asked a friend, could you do me a favor? And could you meet me at the halfway mark? Because I didn't want to drive 2 hours home and then 2 hours back. That's a waste of an entire day. Can you just drive my kids?
Well, not only that, but it was a hard day. So, you know, you at that point, you need somebody to kind of, you know, step in sometimes and just help you, you know, get through it.
Right. So could you do me a favor? Could you meet me up in like West Palm Beach and Jupiter? It's an hour and I'll meet you and so I'll take my kids. And I got so much pushback. And so, oh, I don't really want to do that. Oh, and I was like, and I lost it. Like, I really lost it on this person. I was like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, I don't ask you for anything. And and there was a twist in the friendship after that, you know? Mm-hmm. And I don't ask anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I don't ask at all anymore because you showed me who you were at that moment.
Right. When someone shows you who they are, believe them.
Right. You know, and people say, oh, well, you know, and then you discuss it later on in life and they have their reasons and their excuses. Oh, but that's not what I really meant. And it's just this, right. It's just that, that I don't really care. I really do not care.
So, you know, it's a tricky topic, right? So, you know, you should do for others for nothing in return, right? So that's like the way of the world. Or whatever, the universe, or whatever you want to call it, right? So you're supposed to do things with no expectations of the outcome, right? And that's like law of attraction and you know, you do the right thing and the right thing will come back to you, which is, you know, again, easier said than done. Although the thing about it is this, if you are that person and you're a giver and a doer, like you just said, you're going to do it regardless because it's just who you are. Right. That said, you may or may not go out of your way now knowing that you don't have people that will go out of their way for you. So yes, I've been battling with this recently and I just kind of got over the hump in the sense of, you know, sometimes we're just not that important to somebody else. And so is that like fair, you know, men's amends, meaning it's not necessarily that you're not important, right? It's just that maybe the prioritizing is different. So, you know, yes, you and I are a certain way. And if somebody needs you, you drop it and you go to do it when possible. But there is also a limitation to that, right? Because we have families, we have responsibilities, and you can't do more than what you can do. And I always say you can't pour from an empty cup. So I think that there has to be realistic expectations. And also, don't forget, right? There are those people that will ask, and will take. So you have to also be smart enough to recognize, hey, you know what? This person is going to continually ask me for this because that's dynamics come into the relationship, right? You know, but how
you also have those people that don't ask. They just kind of call you and tell you That Correct. They, oh, I'm going to need you to take my daughter, or I'm going to need you to do this.
Oh, even, yes, that. That's true.
And so they kind of put you in a weird position because that's they true. Call you and they tell you, almost demand you to do it. And then you're like looking at them like, I'm not doing that for you. What are you talking about? You didn't even ask. Like, you told me to do it, but I'm not your child. I don't have to do that for you.
It's a little offsetting as well. And I have personally had, like, question that. I think that people that do things like that are just very close to you. So they just take it under assumption and don't, I feel like they don't mean anything by it. They just take it under assumption, you know, that like you're going to do X, Y, or Z. But, you know, the truth of the matter is that, you know, if you're the type of person that is a giver and a doer, you have to set up healthy boundaries. So you have to say, you know what? You know, I can't do X, Y, and Z for this person, but if I can do this, I will do this. And you also can't do it with the you know, attachment to the outcome that you do for someone and someone is going to do for you, right? You do it because you want to, or sometimes and because you, I, you I, have yeah, to. Because,
right. You have right. To. Right. You have to, or you love the person and they need your help. And like, given to my sister Adele, I am flying to New York to help her clean and reorganize her house. She just had some construction done in her house. Her house is a little chaotic. She calls me. I need you to come. Okay. I figured out what to do with my kids, what to do with my dog, what to do with all my things so that I could fly up there and help her. But in the end, I don't expect anything in return, but she returns. You know, I don't know, 6 months, 9 months from now, I may need something. I'll call her. Hey, can you do something for me? And she'll do it because the genuine love there for each other. You know, I say maybe it comes with friendships and stuff like that, that people don't respect it the same way, or, you know.
Well, family is the worst about respecting things. So it's a good thing that you have that, because family is the first person that thinks, well, you should
take advantage of you, right?
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Familiarity breeds contempt. So a lot of times that is what happens. And people, you know, like, even just the word thank you. So thank you is so underused in so many things. I go out of my way to try to say thank you to people because I know I'll do whatever I can for you. But let me tell you something. If I don't hear a thank you out of somebody's mouth, I get in my feelings about that and it pisses me off. And thank you is free. Being kind is free. So I understand. And, you know, I've been in situations, you know, I'm a single mom. I've been in this situation for 9 years. And there are, you know, there are a lot of things that I cannot do, you know, both, you know, time, finance, whatever it is. And I have been blessed to have certain people around me that have helped me through that. And because they were able to do it, I was able to do it. And even though I can't reciprocate the same way, you can reciprocate by saying thank you, by doing something kind, by making a gesture, by doing certain things to try to help. I mean, you're a prime example of that. I mean, when my husband passed away, not only, you know, did you, you know, get all my stuff in order, but as the years were going by, you know, I was, you know, fighting to be mother of the year. And, you know, you took care of my kid for me, you know, a few times, and I didn't even know my name. And, you know, I was able to finally reciprocate, you know, by having your kid, you know, for the summer. So, you know, eventually it comes, hopefully it comes back around if you recognize what someone has, you know, does do for you. And it's a give and a take. It doesn't mean like, and I, for anybody listening, it doesn't mean like, okay, it's, you know, I do this, you do that. It's not that way. It's not quid pro quo. It's just a matter of that, you know, that person is there for you the way, you know, you're there for them. I think that's what the whole thing is. So in my opinion and my advice to people that continually do for others and feel that their cup is empty, you know, you got to pour into your cup first. And if there's anything left over and you can do it for others, great. If not, you know, I'm so sorry. I just couldn't do it. And for some of us, that's really hard. But I think that's, you know, that's necessary.
I agree. You know, I, I mean, I will always try to figure out and wiggle out the time. You know, if the person's important to me and they ask me, you know, I don't, you know, my husband always says I don't know why you just say no.
Right.
You know? And then you get into your head like, oh, well, they're gonna do it and they don't know what they're doing and they're gonna do it wrong and then they're gonna come back to me anyway, so I might as well do it the first time. You know,
Right.
and there's also that. But you know, like you know, you said you have to be okay with doing it. You did it for a reason, you did it from your heart and not expecting anything in return, or you know, or prepare yourself for the disappointment. Because people always forget what you do for them, always.
Yeah. Well, unless of course you do the one thing wrong. That no one
Oh, that
forgets.
they remember. Nobody forgets what you do wrong.
Nobody
That
forgets
is true.
that, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, and again, if you're that's attaching to the outcome, you know, people are like, "Oh, I don't give a shit. I don't care what this one thinks, or I don't do this, or I don't do that." And meanwhile, they do, because if you're talking about it, then that means it mattered to you. So, you know, I think a lot of people don't realize they're perpetrating the fraud in that regard, because you know, it can't be, you know, oh, I don't give a shit, you know, but because you do, because if you didn't give a shit, you wouldn't talk about it. So, you know, it's very difficult not to be attached to the outcome. And I continually repeat this to myself over and over and over again, because it's almost impossible not to attach to the outcome, because you do something for the outcome. You know, so it for me, it's very difficult. Like, you know, if I go to do something, I want to do it right. I want it to be successful. So if it doesn't come out right and it isn't successful, it does disappoint me. But
Right.
it shouldn't, right? Because you're not supposed to attach to the outcome. So there's many facets to that. And I guess it's just living and learning, because suppose, you know, if you're putting it into the universe and you're putting the good things into the universe, the good things are supposed to come
Well,
back.
that's what they say, right? It'll come back to you tenfold, right?
Right.
So, you know, and that's what you hope. Like, I'm a good person. I help who I can help. You know, it's Christmas season. I do not have a lot of money, but my family always picks a family to help every year. You know, we used to do it when, you know, when I was had no kids that were draining me financially. I used to do more families, right? I used to run around the Bronx and five, six families full of Christmas gifts and stuff like that. Me and my sisters loved it and didn't want anything, just to see the little joy on the children's faces.
Right.
So those
That's
things are
amazing.
rewarding, right? They say thank you, and those
That's
things are rewarding,
amazing.
right?
Yes.
And so people, you know, now more than ever, because the holidays, then we can veer into something different, but the holidays brings on depression and so many ill feelings for
Yep.
people. It's such a be so supposed to be such a time of
Yep.
joy,
Yep.
and the dreading and the depression
Yep.
that comes with the preparation of the holidays, knowing that whether you're missing loved ones, whether you know you're gonna go deeper into financial debt, you know, you're not going to satisfy your kids, or you
Yep.
know, just not even be able to do anything for yourself. You know,
Yeah.
it's terrible. But those are not the reasons we're supposed, you know, we're supposed to do it just so everybody's happy. So you do things for people, little things like, you know, you see the homeless. You know, I drive around. If I see somebody hungry, I'll give them food. I have no problems, you know what? Because you know, $5 is not going to make or break me. $10 is not going to make or break me. It might be my last $10, but they're starving. So why am I going to give it? And then you hope, you sit back and say, God'll pay me back tenfold. And I have been, there have been times, and these are the reasons we do it. There have been times where I have been like, oh my God, I have no, we are like broke, broke, broke. You know, things happen, right? Things break in the house, whatever, you know, money that you put aside, you're saving, all of a sudden now has to go to like a plumbing leak or this or that. And you're like, crap, like there's like no spare change, right? You don't really want to cut too deep into your savings or whatever, if you have savings. And all of a sudden, like, a check will appear in the mail, or somebody will, you know, something will happen, and you just look up to the Lord and you go, thank you. You know, the Lord always
No, very
provides.
true.
And that's that's, you know, why you do it. You don't do it because you want your friends to like, oh, do you remember back in 2019 when I did yada, yada, yada for you? Well, now you owe me. That's not why we do it. We do it because, you know, it's the right thing to do, or we can help at the time, you know, as long as it doesn't cause you any financial strain or, you know, things like that.
Well, yeah, or,
and then you hope,
or I'm sorry, not to interrupt you, or, you know, people do charitable and nice things so that they can post it on social media and show everybody what a good human they
person,
are.
Well, although they're not.
Or the gratitude of,
or they do it for a really great tax deduction.
Right. Well, and you know what? So be it. I mean, at least they're doing it. But I mean, the tax deduction, at least that's a business aspect, because they're giving their, you know, time and money or whatever, you know, their money towards something and it's going towards good. You know, when you have people that, you know, are doing things, and I know people that do things for charity and stuff like that, and they just do it so that they can get the accolades for doing it, and not because of, you know, the payout of it.
It's not genuine.
Correct. And that, I mean, like, again, if you're just doing something for the, you know, the fame and fortune, if you will, it, you know, to me, it's just, you know, you're doing it for the wrong reasons. But if you're doing something good, then good is good. I guess you just have to be, you know, again, don't be attached to the outcome. But I just wanted to thank everybody for tuning in to WTF Let's Talk with Karen and Danielle. So today we were actually talking about like listeners' topics or choice, if you will, because a lot of people had posted certain things. So we just were talking about, you know, when you do for others and others don't do for you. I just want to also remind you guys to hit, if you're listening live, you can comment. If you're listening on the replay, hit that follow button so you know when we're live. And we are on every podcast you can think of. So you can listen anywhere. If you don't want to download this app, you don't have to. You can listen to it on, let's say, Spotify that you might already have in your phone, because I know some people don't like to download things, whatever, blah, blah, blah. So Danielle, let's go one. I know you had, I mean, do we want to stay within this topic? Is there?
No, anything? We can venture.
Well, is there anything else on that thread be comparable to this, where we can stay in the same?
Anthony Mercado responded to Victor, and he said that he feels that people have become more callous and ungrateful since COVID first hit. I know, you know, I mean, we can
respond finish. I know he wrote something long. Finish the entire comment.
It said, "I did not create any survey to come up with a statistic, but it appears that since COVID first hit, people became more callous and ungrateful," is what he wrote.
Well, I don't, you think COVID was, I don't know if COVID, I don't know about that. What do you feel about that?
I don't think so. You know, you know, when COVID kind of hit, you know, we're living a life and we're going through the motions, right? So I think when the world had to stop and we had to sit alone with our own selves or our own families, it took us a minute and we had to start internalizing. And maybe people did become a little bit more callous and grateful. Maybe they realized that they weren't giving too much of themselves and they weren't getting anything in return. You know, they realized that we are working ourselves to death, and then you need a break, and you need to learn how to say, you know, COVID and being locked in the house gave everybody the opportunity to say, no, I can't come into your house. I can't help you. You know, I don't know if you have COVID. I don't know this. I can't get my family sick. I can't, you know, so it opens something like a Pandora's box, but it opens something for people to start saying, no, I can't do that. Or no, I won't do that. And it allowed people who sometimes want to withdraw, but didn't know how to, it gave them that opportunity. Everybody retracted, you know, the little bubbles.
Very true. Yeah, I know. My father kept saying to me, you know, like, you know, you don't have to feel bad about being home. And it was just a strange, you know, phenomenon. I do think, obviously, COVID and the shutdowns and all the craziness that went along with it, definitely had an impact, but I don't know if it was COVID that made people more callous. Like, I'm not sure where to go with that. I think it changed a lot of things. I think that, you know,
they were probably callous to begin with and just didn't know how to verbalize or be a certain way. And it just allowed them that opening to say, you know, I can't do that to you. No, I can't.
Disconnect, you know, people definitely disconnected, you know, because we were forced to. And, you know, yes, I mean, we were aligned to do that too, right? Because we were aligned to think that even our family was like a loaded gun because, you know, oh, they're sick, put them in a room and don't talk to them, you know, and everything. And, you know, like, which was crazy to me because, you know, parents have been taking care of children since the dawn of time. And, you know, again, you know, pink eye, we're not going to put in the same category as COVID, but, you know, like, you know, pink eye, you know, years ago, what was that? The kissing mono, you know, all of those things. Right. And those things,
I mean, they're all these contagious.
And they're all contagious, super contagious. And I remember my kid had pink eye. He was so miserable. And we went to the doctor and the doctor was, I swear how I didn't punch
like a leper, right?
How I didn't punch him in the face. Like, I don't know how. And this poor kid, he's like, oh, well, you have to stay away from him. I'm like, he's my son. He's like 5 or 6. I don't even know how old he was. I'm like, what? Stay away from him. He's laying on top of me. He's got snot all over the place. What are you going to do? I'm going to put him in the other room because he's got cooties in his eyes. Like, but
you,
no.
You're right. Because I have to tell you, it even forced parents to desensitize against their own children.
Hello.
Because and my poor daughter had COVID and I locked her in a room and I told her, you cannot come out of this room.
Yep.
My son, my husband, they were all boom, boom, boom. And it was me and Madison, and they were locked in this room for days and days. And I would leave
alone.
I would have to come in the room with the mask on and the face shield and the spray and the whole nine. And I would leave their food on a tray like they were fucking prisoners, you know, and walk out of the room.
Yeah. And what about the people? Yeah. What about the people that died alone? That were in the hospital and died alone because you weren't even allowed to go in and see your family. So, yeah, maybe that did make people callous because, you know, we got children that are sick and alone. We got elderly or anybody for that matter that, you know, when you're in the hospital, the first thing you want to do, you know, you want somebody holding your hand. And especially these people died alone, you know, I mean, like, it's crazy. So yeah, maybe it did desensitize. And again, I'm not going to go into conspiracy theories. I'm not going to go into any of this stuff. But you know, that was all created. We were taught to fear our families and to look at other people like they were a loaded gun. Now, granted, no one knew what the hell was going on. No one knew how to fix it or treat it, if you will. So we had to kind of, you know, be on alert, right? So that you didn't put yourself in harm's way. But at the same token,
how do you get humanity back? Like after they did this to us, they did this to us for 2.5 years.
Good question. You know,
they're still trying to scare us, right? Like get the vaccine.
What absolutely.
Do this. Listen, I love my sisters. They kind of bullied me into the vaccine. And they've all been vaccine boosted. And my sister Del tells me, I'm going to go get my second booster. No, you're not. You know? And she's like, why? I said, Del, enough, you know? Listen, some people believe the science. Some people don't believe the science. We're not here to talk about that. We're here to talk about, but you know, we're here to talk about now that they have programmed us, now that they have programmed us to be a certain way, how do we go back to being, you know, back to humanity, back to like being considerate of each other, you know, to respecting one another.
Yeah,
there were ups and downs. There was ups and downs with it. Even then, it just, the divide made it so much worse.
Yeah, well, exactly. And unfortunately, the divide, I mean, this is a whole other topic. The divide came from
But I think Black
above.
Lives
And
Matter. Listen, the divide came from so many different things. Listen, we can talk
right.
about how people became callous and insensitive, and you've got woke society here, Black Lives Matter there, this, that, the other thing. Nobody
Politics.
politics, right? You know, but you know, at the end of the day, that's all just talk. And if we allow
Right.
ourselves to get brainwashed and sucked into the talk,
Right.
your fundamentals, like how your parents raised you. What are your beliefs? Are you a good human
Values.
being? Your
Yeah.
values? That is what should drive you, not because, oh,
Correct.
I'm a Democrat, you're a Republican, so I
Right.
can't like you. Oh,
Right.
you know, my friend's sister's gay and you're against gay, so I can't talk to
Right.
you anymore because I have to be on my sister's side. Well, that's nonsense.
Well,
But it
because
is.
united we stand, divided we fall. And if you look at the big picture, putting all that division between humans made everybody go against one another. So, you know, that's what I'm trying to say. There's a bigger picture that a lot of people weren't looking at. And yes, you're 100% right. I mean, at some point, it's just like family. You know, you have people, you know, I am not the type of person, I stick to what I believe, but there was even an issue between friends not that long ago where one person was stuck on one space, one person was stuck on the other space. There were 20 people in the middle of it. And you know what? It's not that important. Like, how do we put this to bed? This person needs this, this person needs that. Okay, done. Let's do it. And now
Right.
it's over and done with. If you want to stand on a soapbox about it, or not even a soapbox, but on your laurels or whatever, I understand that. But at the same token, let's all just figure out a way to move forward. Why do we have to stay in the same place where I'm over here? No, I'm standing right here, and the other person's going, I'm standing right here. All right, well, how about you take a step in one direction? I'll take a step in one direction, and now we're standing together. So
Correct.
people want to get stuck. And sometimes, you know, the ego, well, most of the times, the ego is what makes you stuck, right? And then, like my husband would say, you get stuck on stupid.
Right.
And, you know, like this is where I think where society is right now. We're kind of still stuck on stupid because people don't want to, you know, work together and look at a bigger picture. Or how about looking at something differently? For instance, you and I. We are like our core, like being is very much alike, but we have very different beliefs on a lot of different things.
Yes.
And you do things one way, I do things another way. And, you know, sometimes like I'll say to you, well, maybe, you know, like this is what I would do or whatever. And like initially, you know, maybe you're like, yeah, okay, whatever. I don't want to hear that. But then you get to a certain point where you're like, all right, well, that makes sense. Let me look into that. And so if you're not forcing it down somebody's throat, then they have the opportunity to make an educated decision and maybe listen. That's the whole thing. People don't listen to one another
No.
because everybody got to be right.
Right. Well, also, and again, this is something else. People are already forming their response to your
Yes,
statement.
before it gets out of your mouth.
So you're like, you know, the lack of communication, maybe, and lack of communication with people, you know, I'll be saying something and they'll be like, bah, bah, but you didn't even let me finish. You don't even
Right.
know where I'm going with this. And you're already
Right.
responding. How are you going to respond correctly?
Yeah.
And then like, oh, and then of course, oh, she's such a bitch. I'm not a bitch. I'm trying to ask you or tell you something, and you're already blocking. Like you're already like, no, but this can't, da, da, da. You know, you're responding without even processing what I'm saying.
Yeah, which I mean, sometimes that's a knee-jerk reaction because especially if something, if you're in a heated moment, it is difficult to stop, you know, and listen at that point because you're already trying to, let's say, fix something. And, you know, it sometimes like a lot of my friends are very detail-oriented. So sometimes when you're in the middle of it, you can't explain all the details and that becomes challenging because they don't understand where it all comes from. But yes, that is, you know, there are a lot of people that talk because they want to talk, but they don't listen. So you're not getting the yin and the yang.
Right.
And everybody's right. Oh, everybody's right.
Everybody's right.
So that's the whole thing, is that you have to at least listen long enough to know. I mean, and we're not always right. And sometimes we, like, for instance, something stupid, right? So I was doing something in my kitchen, and I was, and now I am a very, what is the word? Like, what's the word I'm looking for?
I have no idea.
Artistic. I'm a very artistic person. I'm very creative. So my brain functions a certain way. Right. Now, Danielle is a very pragmatic, like she's very pragmatic. Like she'll have lists and go right back. So I'm doing something in my kitchen, and I'm trying to, I figured out how to get the light. What are those things called? The caps, the, you know, the things that I did that I showed you. What's the light things. I took them off of the
your hi-hats.
The things I took off, the case or whatever that goes around the plugs, the cap of the light, where the plug goes in, right? Is that what it's called?
I have no idea what you're talking about, but keep going. I'm listening.
Okay. So I show them to her. I took the plates for
the outlet covers.
So now, see, this is what I'm talking about, is that I'm a spaz. So now I took them off, and I said to Danielle, can I paint them with this? And I had some acrylic paint or whatever. And she said, I don't think so, because it's not going to stick to it. And me, you know, stubborn, thick-headed, I'm like, all right, well, I'll give it a shot. So, of course, I go to do it, and it doesn't stick. Like Danielle said, it wouldn't stick. So now I'm like, all right, glitter. That fixes everything. So now I'm using, like, glitter paints or whatever, and I send it to her first, and I go, okay, yeah, that didn't work. You were right. And then I'm like, screw it. I used glitter. And I don't know if I used – I think I did adhesive over – who the hell knows? But I made it work. And so I don't think the same way, because I'm on the creative end of it, and she is on the practical end. Like, that's not going to work. But I can't take no for an answer. So I went and did it. So – some of us have different ways of going about things and looking at things. And Danielle was like, all right, Kat, whatever you think, but I, you know, like, try it. But she knew it wasn't going to work, but she didn't burst my bubble like, Karen, really? Like, are you retarded? That's not going to work. You know, are you going to do it? She let me do it. I came to the conclusion that it didn't work. And then I said to her, look what I did. And she was like, oh, okay, that works. So, right. You know, it's you didn't belittle me because I did something that you knew wasn't going to work.
No, I would never do that. Listen, everybody learns from trial and error. That's how you
right,
learn.
But most people, but what my point is that there are a lot of people that do belittle someone because their beliefs aren't in line with the other person's beliefs. So you knew it wasn't going to work, and you let me do it because you knew. Of course. Nope. I got a call there. Can you still hear me, or did I go out?
Yeah, no, I can hear you.
Yeah. So, I mean, my point is, I guess, about respecting one another. You know, we all have different ways of doing things. We all have different beliefs, and mine isn't right, and yours isn't wrong. You know what I mean? We all come together on it. And that's the part where you just said, how are we going to get humanity back? And to me, that's the answer, is respect one another for what they think and what they believe. And if you don't think or believe the same thing, allow them to do what they want. And if they are okay with you offering why, and maybe ask why, like, well, you know what, this is why I do it. So, you know, I just use the plates as an example. You know, so Danielle said to me, I don't think that's going to work. And I was like, why? And she's like, because that paint is not going to
adhere to the plastic
to that, you know, plate. And I figured, well, not like it can't hurt. I'm going to give it a try. And then I realized why she was right. And so now I know moving forward that I will never do that again because it's not going to work. You know, and I think that that's a big thing is that people are not open to other ways of looking at things or suggestions or other people's values or points of views. I mean, would you agree?
I do agree. I mean, it doesn't
give you... Danielle is gone. She left the building.
Danielle has not left
the
building.
We've lost Danielle.
No way.
She does not agree with me.
Danielle is here. Do you not hear me?
Danielle.
I'm here. Wait a minute.
It was me. Am I still somebody out there listening? Can you like type in a comment so I know I'm still live and I didn't get disconnected?
Hold on, I'm here.
Because I'm not sure what's going on right now.
But I'm here.
Okay, you're here. How come I can't hear you?
I don't know.
Testing, testing.
Hold up.
Is this mic working? Can you hear me, Danielle, on here? What's going on?
I don't know. Uh-oh.
We got technical difficulties.
Hello?
And
hello?
I am not good at stuff like this. All right, so it's me because I just put something and it's not working. All right, let me see if I see.
Oh my God, what happened?
My earbud.
Karen.
Can you hear me?
I can. Can you hear
now me? Now I can hear you. My earbuds do those things where they decide to work and not work. So that's what happened.
Okay. I'm like, what are you talking about? I'm here. I'm right here.
I'm like, all right, she got nothing to say. Shut up, Karen.
I'm here, I swear. I'm like, wait, what do you mean you can't hear me? I'm right here.
I'm sorry, Mama.
That's okay. Now I completely lost what we were saying.
We were just talking about how to get humanity back, you know, where we respect one another's, you know, opinions or beliefs, and don't force others to feel the same way or think the same way that we do.
You know, I don't know, because we can take this conversation so left and, or right, whichever way you want to figure it. But let's try not to for today.
Let's try not to.
Yeah, I mean, how do you get people not to be callous and unfeeling and not give back to you the way you give to them? You can't, right? You just can't. You just have to hope that the person loves and respects you. And when you need the help, that they're willing to help you. I mean,
wait, I got to interrupt you. What? The way you can do that is by keeping your circle smaller.
Very small.
You know, because the only way that you can do that is to have people that you know you're in alignment with and that you can count on. That, to me, is the only way to ensure that.
I don't know. I've lost, you know, I've had and lost so many friends. I have been disappointed in people more times than I could count. It doesn't stop me from being me. I still will always help where I can. And, you know, and you, listen, we're girls, right? So we're emotional. So you get upset, you rant, you rave, you sometimes you even cry. Like, I couldn't believe they wouldn't like do this for me. Men are different, you know, they just will cut somebody off. They're like, oh, he's an asshole and I'm never going to talk to him again. And they'll just do it, you know, whatever.
Right. Cause there's no emotion. Like it's true.
Right. Yeah. Guys are better at that than girls for sure.
A good punch in the face works too.
They're friends again and they keep it moving
in a minute.
Right. Girls won't talk 20 years. That bitch did such to me. You know, we forget that everybody has something going on.
Yeah,
you know, everybody. Yep. You walk by the happiest person in the street, and you have no idea that her life is a mess.
Yep,
you know, and we fail to recognize that because we're so caught up in our own crap and our own drama. So you know, why can't you help? You know, but nobody asks why. Somebody tells you no, you're like, fine. You know, you get upset, you get offended, and then you know, it causes a rift in the friendship or whatever.
Yep.
But you know, nobody says, well, why can't you help me? Put people on the spot. Like, I don't understand why. You know, what can you explain? And they might tell you, listen, I'm in the middle of a hardship right now. I'm in the middle of this. I didn't want to tell you because you have your own stuff going on.
Right.
But I have my own stuff going on. And maybe right. that would help us recognize in one another that, you know, we're supposed to be here and support each other and, you know, walk each other through life. And because, you know, the journey of life is much better with, you know, people that you love and friends, and laughter is the best medicine, right, Karen? And
I thought it was tequila, but okay, we'll go with laughter.
Well, laughter and tequila kind of go together. After a lot of tequila, you're fucking laughing your ass off.
Indeed.
So, you know, that I think is the biggest thing. Nobody takes into account anymore what the other person could be going through, and why is the no, why the rejection, why the what's for the
disappointment,
the disappointment, or the offer to help isn't fair.
Right, the return, so to speak. But you know what? That's also a challenge because, like, let's say, like, me personally. So, like, Danielle is pretty good. She's very open and expressive about things. I mean, depending on who she's talking to. But for the most part, Danielle will just, like, tell you, and a lot of my friends are like this, they'll just tell you everything that's going on, you know, in a minute, you know, as if they have that relationship with you. I am not that way a lot. There may be certain people I'm like that with, but for the most part, people don't normally know what I'm going through. And like, you know this because you'll be like, I haven't heard from you and I'm getting some kind of feeling, what's going on? And
hello.
Right. And there's probably, I can count on one hand, I won't tell people what I'm going through and what I'm dealing with, because most people, to be honest with you, don't really want to know, or they can't deal with that. So I do, you know, my situation is a little different than a lot of others, or some, shall we say. And there's a lot of, and that's, a lot of people have that, because some people's everybody's situation is different, and not everybody can understand it. And not everybody knows that all these things are always running in the background. So they don't get when somebody gets overwhelmed, or when somebody can't do something, they don't always understand, like you said, why. Because like, okay, like they seem fine to me, you know, like, oh, well, you look at social media, they're out, they're doing this, they're doing that. So what's the problem? Why can't they do X, Y, or Z? But most people put up that front, if you will, so that everybody, nobody, you know, is thinking that they're not okay. And then, you know, it's usually the people, you know, on the back end that actually know, wow, something, you know, there's a lot going on. And now I understand why this person reacts the way they do or can't do what they do. But most of us are not forthcoming with that because most people really don't give a shit. Right? I mean,
that's right.
I'm just saying. I mean, I don't want to sound,
you know,
not that people
right. Funny enough, I had a conversation this morning with somebody, and I'm like, and I was telling them, I'm like, you know, we're talking about, you know, again, we go back into why people act a certain way, depression, this, that, the other thing, you know, hardships.
Yep.
And, you know, I suffer from depression very badly. And, you know, my father was killed 3 years ago. And
God, it's 3 years.
I know. So it took everything in me. Me, I want to crawl into a hole. I withdraw real fast. I withdraw real fast, and I lock down, and Karen and them will be like, where are you? Like, are you good? Like, haven't heard from you in a while. So as sociable and open and, you know, willing to talk and friendly as I am, is as quick as I'll retreat. And I don't have to talk to anybody. I lock myself down. That's it. And it's through their help and people, you know, through, and maybe that's how people respond or they reciprocate. And you don't even realize, right? You think
absolutely.
You ask for a favor, and you think that when you ask for a favor, you need them to return a favor. But the favor they gave you is that they picked up the phone and checked on you every single day.
Exactly. Well, that's exactly my point. And that's where I said, people can reciprocate, but in a different form. And we don't always recognize that. And you said earlier, you know, sometimes you give, you know, your last $10 to somebody and then you get a check in the mail. It's the same type of thing. You know, right. when you be, for me personally, I know that there's only but so much I can do. And I have to say this. You know, I was raised in a family where, you know, a lot of like, if my mother wasn't around or like, or went someplace or worked or whatever, she didn't bring me with her, but she'd come home and she'd have a present for me. So, you know, you might've had a different experience where, you know, your parent or someone took you someplace, but you didn't get the gift. And so you learn what people are capable of and what they're able to do for you. Some people are better just, you know, buying you something or taking care of something for you financially, because that's where they have the capacity to do. And yet when you're going through something emotionally, they can't help you because it's not in their.
I had a friend, and it put a little bit of a limitation on our friendship. They didn't come to my father's funeral. Oh, I'm not good with funerals. I'm like, so if your mother dies, you're not going? Like, I don't understand, you know? My father was great to many. Like, he was dad to so many of my friends. Like, and he adopted all of my friends, you know.
It's hard. And that's respect. And you know, it's that's the whole thing about being selfless, because you know, I have to tell you, me going to funerals, you know, since I buried my husband has been like awful, because you know, anybody
that yeah, you came, but what you did was you took my kids and you went and took them home and you took care of my kids, because it wasn't.
No, I did not. I sat with you. I sat there
for a while, but then you went back to the house with Marisol. Yes, you did.
No, I didn't. I stayed. I stayed with you the whole time. Noah went back with Marisol, and I just sat there and I shut myself down. Because whatever, I was in sitting there, and every time you came back in the room, I'm like, are you good? Do you need anything? No, I was there with you the whole time. And when everybody got up and spoke about daddy, I understand. Believe me, I know. And when everybody spoke, I was holding your hand. I was right there with you. And it's a hard, but my point is that you needed me. And even though at that point we weren't the best of friends, you know, we were, and I knew that that's what you needed, because I knew what I needed when I was going through that. And that's the difference, is that some people can't put aside what they're feeling to be able to be there for somebody else. And so sometimes you got to just shut down, because it ain't about you. And that's the part that people don't get. It isn't always about you, and it shouldn't always have to be about you. Sometimes it's about other people. It took me days to get by after that, because it hurt my soul. But you know what? I got over it. And you had the next day, you had the thing at the restaurant. I think I went there, right? Did I go? I don't even remember, to be honest with you. That's how because I think I was just like, I couldn't.
Yeah, did you come to
the
church?
House afterwards? I came to the house, right? I didn't go there.
Yeah, because we had the church, and then the Marines were there. They played taps. It was so
yes. Oh my gosh. But see, this is the point.
But Karen, you know, listen, Karen will call me, hey, Danielle, can you do this for me? Can you do it for me? You know what she does for me? And sometimes, again, people, when you think of people being callous or ungrateful or whatever, think about how they help you in other ways. Because my depression was, I sat here and I can tell you, my life, my husband, my kids, I neglected everything. I jumped into a bottle. I drank a bottle of wine every single night. I cried and I cried and I cried. And then I started going out, and I left my kids and I left my husband and I left everything behind. I didn't pay the bills. The fucking house was falling apart. Didn't give a shit. And it was the phone calls. It was the phone calls and the push. Hey, Danielle, why don't you go work out? Why don't you redirect that, your anger somewhere? Danielle, so it was like the subtle.
We cried. We had those conversations. We cried.
And those things saved my life. I'm here 3 years later, and they saved my kids, because eventually the fog clears and you sit back and you're like, oh my God, you know, it doesn't make it easier by all means. It doesn't make it easier. But for the instant, like your brain snaps back into reality and you're like, shit.
You know? And that's why I always say never underestimate the power of a good friend, because, you know, we don't need, I mean, yes, it's great to, you know, to go on vacation. It's great to do whatever and spend money and go out or whatever. But at the truth of the matter is that that's when you really, in your darkest hours, is when you know. And everything you just explained that you went through, you watched me do, you know, after my husband passed. And I, you know, was not proud of a lot of things that I did. Oh, and you were there during some of my, you know, worser moments.
No judgment.
I still beat myself up over. Yeah, but you know, like, you can't, I think that we always have a feeling, right? And we don't understand until you've been there. And maybe when I was doing what I was doing, maybe you, not that you were judging me, but you probably, as a human, had an opinion about it. And probably, and you know, I never acted that way in my life. So, you know, you look at somebody and you're like, wow, like, that's like, whoa, they just really, like, you know, they got to cut back. Like, they're drinking too much, or wow, you know, they're doing this, they're doing that. And then you go through something that knocks you on your ass and you don't know how to deal with it. And then you turn around and you say, holy crap.
Yeah.
Now I get it.
I ran out of the house. I was out. I left my husband, my kids, everybody. I started going clubbing, right? Because it was an escape. It was fun. It was music. It was dancing. It was everything that wasn't the four walls. It wasn't dealing with reality.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, you know what happens? My family members and my cousins and everybody started talking about me, like, oh, Danielle getting a divorce. She's out all the time. She's this, she's that, she's this, she's that. So, you know, right. It starts the rumors. No, right. No, I'm not getting divorced. I'm depressed. I'm filled with grief. I don't know what to do. Like, I have no place to put it. I would cry during my workouts. Cameron would call me. I'm in the middle of workout, hysterical crying.
I used to do the same thing. I still do. It's a release. And that's why I told you, go work out. Because people don't, it's not funny, but when my husband passed, I went to the gym and I had gotten two of my girlfriends, we would go together. I would love being in spin class because it would be dark, the music would be blasting, and I was hysterically crying on that bike because I was pushing myself so hard because I didn't want to feel what I was feeling. And it's like a release. It's like an orgasm. You push yourself to that level and you release. And I just would start crying, like, on the bike. I mean, the anniversary of my husband's death this year, I went out, I started to work out. I was screaming and crying while I was working out. And people, if they drove by, they would have thought I was, you know, a nut. So, you know, I mean, you have to get it out and you have to, you know, and again, this is a show that I want to do, like, in its entirety. And I was thinking about doing it today because of the holidays. You know, people, depression, how do you deal with depression? And how, especially around the holidays, it's a happy time for a lot of people. And for a lot of us, it's a very, very dangerous time. There are a lot of people that commit suicide at this point, at this time of the year. There are a lot of people that feel it even more so because they're alone. And maybe this is something that we should talk about next week.
I agree.
Okay. So I think, you know, just to recap, you know, the beginning of the show, we talked about, and we went with listener's choice. So somebody had commented on the group page, the Real Talk with Karen Stacey group page. I asked for topics for the show and they said, you know, how about when you do for others and others don't do for you and take advantage? And then there was or don't reciprocate. And then one of the comments was that, you know, COVID made people more callous. And such. So what Danielle and I were just discussing was, you know, you don't do for others for what you get back. That if you do for others, that you have to have no attachment to the outcome. And if you continue to do things for others, that you should make your circle a little bit smaller so that you're not standing there with an empty cup. And also that when you can do for others, maybe not the same way they do for you, but just by being there for them. And I think that is the difference. And I know we have somebody, Mr. Be Great is on here, helping others helps you so much.
And I agree.
And there are certain people that don't get that. And then there are certain people that do. And that's also another show, because there are some people that do so much for others in order to fill themselves. And that isn't good. You have to fill yourself first, because if you are filling others and that's where the only place that you're getting your validation from, your cup will never be full. People. You have to fill your cup first, and then you can help others. And I know, you know, there are a lot that, what is that? The Nightingale syndrome or something, right? When right. The only way that you feel validated is by helping others. And mm-hmm. I have a lot of friends like that too, because you will set yourself up for failure.
Correct. I agree.
All right. So you want any closing? I just went on for 3 hours for
a No, that's fine. No, you did not go on for 3 hours. No. You know, again, you know, we're summarizing, right? You do things because of who you are as a core and who you are inside, like your core, right? I like to do things for people, one, because if I'm capable, why wouldn't I? You know, some people aren't capable of doing certain things. They're just not, you know, right. Everybody's raised differently. Everybody, right. You just assume that, well, we were all raised the same. No, we weren't all raised the same.
No.
You know, we were not, you know, we're maybe the same age, but we are all different fundamentally.
Right. Like, just like, and not to interrupt your statement, but a perfect example. I don't do amusement parks, water things. I don't do any of that stuff. And Danielle and her sister and the family, the only time my son has ever gone to those things is when Danielle or her sister takes him, because it's just not my thing. I can't do it. I can't deal with the crowds. I can't deal with watching my son on these things. I have a heart attack. And Danielle is much better. She has a heart attack too, but she can do it.
But I take him anyway, right? Because it's for the fun. And, you know, and look, Noah loves it and he appreciates it. And, yep. and you know, he's like, you know, a child of mine, like, you know, off to the left. But, I love him. I love him. I've known him since he was in Karen's belly. Like, he's my baby. So, you know, when I'm up in New York and Karen takes care of my son, like he's her own as well. When he's up in New York, you know, we love that their friendship has stand the test of time throughout different states and distance and everything else. And it, right. It's very heartwarming. But you know, I don't do the things that I do because I expect something in return. I do it because, you know, I want to do it and I can help, you know, when I don't, if I ask, cause I'm not an ass. I do not ask. Let me pronounce that correctly. I do not ask.
Yeah. Don't be an ass.
Don't be an ass. An ass. I do not ask for help. I never do. But if I get to the point where I have to, I'm kind of not expecting a no, especially if I've done 100 things for you. So sometimes I find myself a little disappointed, but then people will return the favor in other ways. Maybe it's right. Just not in their makeup, and you have to accept people for that and try not to get so disappointed and maybe look for the silver lining in something else they did. Like, for instance, like Karen, who picks up the phone and calls me like every couple of days, like, yo, where you been? What are you up to? Are you all right? Are you good? I'm not feeling something. You're off, you know? And they do that check-in on you. And believe me, that's more important than anything.
Yep. But again, it's just expectations and managing those expectations, because, you know, you everybody brings something different to the table. So part of, you know, maturing and or even just existing is recognizing what someone brings to the table. So, you know, like everybody knows when you learn what people's strengths and weaknesses are. So Danielle isn't going to ask me how to organize something because she knows that ain't my strength, right? But Danielle may ask me, like, you know, my stomach's been bothering me. I, you know, and I'm like, all right, try this. And she's all right, let me order that. So, you know, we all have our strengths and our weaknesses, and people can't give what they don't have. So let's remember that and try to be kind and accepting to others, in the sense that not everyone can give you, you know, everything, or, and, you know, not everyone can give you what you need, but in certain respects, they can, you know, they can make up for it. So you just have to have a realistic expectation of what someone can and can't do. And again, okay, I'm going to just say, be open-minded with things, because you never know what someone else is going through. And sometimes people have all the right intentions, but they still don't get it right. Correct. You know, so you have to kind of evaluate the situation. So, all right. So in so maybe next week we'll talk about depression. Let's see where we're going to go with that. But I want to thank everybody for joining us. Danielle, thank you so much. And all right, you can sign off. I got one more thing to say. I know you have the one. All right.
All right. Have a great day. Bye-bye. Yes. See you next week.
Happy Tuesday. All right. Bye. So just a quick reminder to everybody, if you are in the New York area, we got Freestyle Friday this weekend at Fire and Oak Croton on Hudson from 8 to 12. I got DJ Mayday. And then we have Sugar Rush on Saturday night. So if you're in the New York area, you know, from what I'm told, well, not from what I'm told, from what I know, you know, there is no place to do Freestyle Friday in New York. So you need to be there or be square. All right. So thank you guys so much for listening. Don't forget to hit that follow button, the like button, subscribe. It's all free. And we will see you next week at 11 a.m. for WTF with Karen and Danielle. Bye.